G-78, Gravesen Hotel, Buenos Aires, Argentina. There's an army of local security accompanying the march, and I'm more than happy to stand behind a police cordon with you lot at my side, John Cole explained to his chief security officer as they stood in the lobby of the Buenos Aires Gravesen. The man's London-based superiors had evidently raised immediate objection to his notification of Cole's plan, and it took a lot for the Prime Minister to retain his patience, or at least to act as though he had.
You can come or you can stay, but I'm going outside. Tell the pencil pushers on the other end of the line that I'll consider it an example of overtly political interference if they encourage you to stand in my way, and rest assured you'll be well rewarded for ignoring them if they're stupid enough to do so.
The march hadn't quite arrived yet, and Cole knew that the impact of his plan would be hugely lessened if he went outside too soon, so he was happy enough to stand outside the elevator and watch the expression of his trusted guardian as the response from London came in. The man had delivered Cole's stern words verbatim, to his credit, and remained stony-faced as he listened to the reply.
We can do it, boss, the man eventually said to Cole, ending the call without any further reply to his distant superiors and smiling as he put his phone away. What's the game plan? If you don't mind me asking, since I went to bat, you know.
Cole grinned and patted the much taller man on the shoulder.
Listen. I'm not keeping anything from you like that bastard Godfrey has been keeping everything from us. It just doesn't make sense to start dissecting the plan a few minutes before I dive into it. It could throw me off track.
Of course, boss. My apologies.
Although there was no need for an apology in Cole's mind, he didn't say so out loud. Another lesson he'd learned from Godfrey, a good teacher if nothing else, was that it never did any harm to let subordinates think they might have stepped out of line. This nugget of wisdom now made a great deal of psychological sense to Cole, and he had long since internalized it. Another of Cole's security team was currently stationed on the other side of the hotel's entrance and had been asked a few moments earlier to alert the others when the approaching march came into earshot. The reply had been instant.
5 minutes ago, and it's damn loud.
From there, Cole encouraged a second request for the man to report when the march became visible from his ground-level position. This would be the appropriate time to burst outside in faux surprise at the presence of so many pro-contact citizens and so many TV cameras, and Cole felt absolutely sure that he would steal the limelight, even if any other of the luxury hotel's guests had the same idea. Countless politicians and dignitaries were currently checked into the Gravesen, as was always the case during international events in the nearby building that had already served as the headquarters of two William Godfrey-led international agencies and was about to open its doors to the third. Few had an international profile on a level anywhere close to Cole's, however, and most wouldn't even be bigger news than him in their own home countries. Another important point was that the vast majority of those in town for the inauguration were already mingling at the ICA building, with Cole proving the exception, given his reluctance to spend a moment longer than necessary putting on a friendly face to rooms full of his peers, who knew he had been kept in the dark with the rest of the second string. Brave faces were for weak men, as Cole had been told by the same treacherous former friend who had taught him so much else, and the strong were always willing to take their time and walk alone.
Now, Cole's security chief said, passing on the news that the march was in sight.
The time had come for John Cole to walk alone, ready to deliver strong words that would ideally knock Godfrey out of his pre-inauguration stride without making him expect that a far greater Cole-driven power play would be smacking him across the face later in the day. Cole strode forward towards the door and waited for his security team to step outside first. As soon as the doors parted, he heard the din of the demonstrators as they began to pass by a few hundred meters in the distance. The level of sound and the surprising width of the exclusion zone, which stretched to the edge of the hotel's grounds, momentarily made him wish he had left a little more time. But he consoled himself with the consideration that it would take a long time for a march of this size to pass by, and that arriving a few minutes later than he might have considered optimal would, in fact, make this calculated piece of media manipulation seem all the more impromptu. Cole naturally had no idea that Billy Kendrick had been planning to conduct an agenda-setting news conference of his own outside of Agravesen in Ankara rather than Argentina, but knowing that he was stealing thunder from both Billy and Godfrey in one swoop would have made him even more pleased with his spur-of-the-moment idea than he already was. Continuing forward across an exclusion zone whose central area was entirely unmanned, Cole waved his arms in an effort to catch the attention of some passers-by to generate some hype before his arrival at the edge of the main road in another minute or so. Accepting defeat in what he quickly realized was going to be a fruitless endeavor, Cole then picked up his walking pace into something approaching a trot and began to yell about how great it was to see so many people out in support of the ICA. None could hear him, of course, due to a combination of the volume of the crowd of marchers and the not insignificant distance that remained between them and Cole, but he hoped a few of the local police officers dotted around the ever-approaching inner edge of the exclusion zone might pick out the words and create some buzz. The exclusion zone was really more of a buffer, designed only to keep the expected crowds away from the high-security hotel. It was also a pedestrianed area, strewn with hundreds or perhaps even thousands of small decorative trees and bushes, as well as water features and even a Hollywood Walk of Fame-inspired series of handprints on the ground to commemorate some of the hotel's esteemed guests over the years. All of this was to say that Cole wasn't conspicuously hurrying across a completely empty parking lot or anything of that nature, which was why his approach wasn't noticed until it was almost complete. By the time Cole did reach the edge of the exclusion zone and word of his arrival rapidly rippled through the crowd, he was thanking high heaven that the demonstration was as large as it was. Had it been anything but colossal, the crowd would have passed by the time he made it. In hindsight, driving to the edge of the zone rather than taking the similarly straight path through the pedestrian walkway might have made more sense, but Cole cut himself some slack given that the whole plan had entered his head only a few seconds before he jumped out of bed and started acting on it. Even critics of John Cole's politics and personal branding recognized that he had an uncanny knack for finding a spotlight. He had a rare instinct for getting all kinds of attention, as Emma McCarthy had once publicly put it. He just lacked sufficient brain cells to realize that bad attention was only worthwhile in exceptional emergencies when a diversion was needed. And even in such cases, like his desperately catastrophic decision to leak news of Comet Il Diavolo's collision course approach towards Earth a few years earlier, Cole lacked the tact and finesse to walk the line in the way more experienced campaigners like Godfrey, and to a lesser extent Slater, could do with relative ease. These critics would have a field day addressing Cole's play here at the Gravesen, but their hearts would have been fit to leap out of their chests if they'd known what he was planning for later in the day at the ICA.
"Hello, friends,"
Cole yelled at the top of his lungs, this upbeat call now reaching a moderate number of those at the edge of the crowd. Cole smiled widely. This unexpected appearance and speech would be a barb at Godfrey, and a damn good one at that. But the coup de grace wasn't much further away.